We're in Romans this morning. A little demonstration of the power of God, because how many know we need to believe for this kind of thing to happen all the time? This isn't a place to visit. This is the place to live in. Come on. We should be able to move in the power of God without being weird. Come on. This is not weird. This is common things yes. in the kingdom.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. We're learning a different way. We're citizens of heaven, and heaven has different atmosphere than earth. How many know? Heaven has a different atmosphere. In heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no tears. In heaven, there's none of that stuff, and God is trying to get heaven on earth. The kingdom of God, he said, the kingdom of God is near you. The kingdom of God is in you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Why was the Lord preaching the kingdom? Why did Paul preach the kingdom? Why did Peter preach the kingdom? Because he's bringing the realm of heaven on earth.
Yes.
Now, not for some time later on. In a sweet by and by when we get there, God wants to bring that to earth. That will see, that will cause the earth people to want what we have, because we're walking in an atmosphere of glory.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
When we get sick, we're healed. When we get attacked financially, we're prosperous. It's not that attack doesn't come. If you're alive, is everybody alive this morning? You're breathing in and out. Things happen. But anytime the environment of the world comes into the environment of God, who do you think is going to win? Case in point, Jesus was preaching in the synagogue. It was his turn. He got up and he read out of Isaiah 61. And they said, who is this guy? He's a carpenter, son. He said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your midst. Immediately they got angry. How many know they got angry? And he took him and tried to push him over the hill. And the scripture says, see, the environment of the world came in the environment of the kingdom, said he walked right through their midst. How does one guy do that with however many that are in the synagogue? Especially people that are upset. Come on. We say, well, that was Jesus. I can't do it. Listen. Does Jesus live in you? No, no, no. Come on. Does Jesus live in you? So if he did it then, he can do it now. He didn't get weaker. This is not a different dispensation. He doesn't get glory for us getting beat up. He gets glory because anytime the environment of heaven comes into touch with the environment of the earth, heaven wins. Every time. Come on, somebody. If it was 98%, we'd enjoy it. If it was 75%, we'd enjoy it. Some of us would enjoy it if we just won one out of five times. Release your faith this morning, because God's intent is to win 100% of the time. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen this morning. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 this morning, we're going through Romans 7. We're going through the book of Romans together. I hope you've been studying ahead. And to prove a point, I want you all to just concentrate. Now, I did this for my wife last night and she hit me. I'm still sore from where she hit me, so. And then Jennifer was pounding on me up here a little bit ago. I don't know why she was hitting me like that, but. Where's she at? There she is. I'm sorry, whatever I did. No. I want you all to think, not now, if you have to write it down, that's fine, but you should all be able to think about this. Think of a number from 1 to 10. Everybody got it? Multiply that number by 9. You can use a calculator if you need to. If the number is a two-digit number, add the digits together. Everybody got it? Now subtract 5. You got that number? Determine which letter in the alphabet corresponds to the number you ended up with. 1 would be A, 2 B. You there?
Yep.
Think of a country that starts with that letter. Got it? Remember the last letter of the name of that country. Think of the name of an animal that starts with that letter. You there? Remember the last letter in the name of the animal. Now think of the name of a fruit that starts with that letter. Everybody got it? Are you thinking of a kangaroo in Denmark eating an orange? If you are, raise your hand. You got me, no doubt. 98% of the people that do that come up with the same answer. 98% of the people that do that come up with the same answer. Why? Because we all think the same. We're all pretty much the same. Only 2% of the population are able to think outside the box. When God invades us, we want to be like water and reach the level that we're supposed to reach. God wants us to go beyond that in a level of faith.
Amen.
God wants us to move in that seemingly 2%. Why? Because it's God in us both to work and to will of His good pleasure.
Hallelujah. Yes.
We need to not be common Christians. We need to be uncommon Christians. The day demands it. The day demands that we move in the 2% of the body of Christ that's actually doing something for the Lord. Come on, somebody. Pushing the kingdom outward. Receiving the promises of the Lord and activating them in our lives. Come on, somebody. God is looking for, His eye is going to and fro across the earth, seeking those who have faith. We went through chapter 3 and a few weeks ago, and we saw that righteousness and justification come to man apart from the law. In chapter 7, we're going to see that sanctification for man also comes apart from the law. And I want us to see very clearly today that there's nothing at all that we can do to overcome sin in our flesh. You could fast till you weigh 10 pounds. And you ain't going to win nothing. Because the victory has already been won. Excuse my English. You aren't going to win anything. The victory has already been won at Calvary. All we are asked to do is to move in the finished works of the Lord. Chapter 6 challenged us to embrace the grace. But we should take care to remember that we cannot seek to be complete through the efforts of the flesh. Here's what Galatians 3:3 says. Are you foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Paul understood that there was some things going on in the Galatian church, the same thing that's going on in our modern church. We want to have a horse in the race. We want to look like we're doing okay. We want the pat on the back. Well done, good and faithful servant. But the only way that we're going to have victory is to have Christ move in us. Come on, somebody. If we're doing it ourselves, that means we didn't need a Savior. That means we didn't need someone to kill us. That's what happened, you know. God killed us. And He put a new us. What's 2 Corinthians 5:17? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new again. That means everything that you do, according to God, is new. Only you can mess that up. Turn to Romans chapter 7 if you're not already there. I need to get there quickly. Romans 7. Or do you know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now, somebody say, but now, we have been delivered, past tense, from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. What's the Bible say? The Bible says that we are dead to the law. The law doesn't have any dominion over us unless we want it to. Man named Dr. Mitchell Dillon, I read this quote, I thought it was worthy of repeating. He said, repent of your sin to become religious and repent of your righteousness to become a Christian. Our righteousness doesn't do anything. Our good works are useless energy. Energy expended for no reason at all. Come on, somebody. If God tells you to do something, do it. It's not a work. But if you do something to get God's intention, it's a work. And it fails. We've had a lot of dose of bad theology. Wasn't going to go there this quick, but I'm going to. I just feel from the Lord. I remember there's a song we used to sing. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Took it back. Took back. Come on. Stole from me. Took it back. Took back what he stole from me. You know, that's bad theology. In fact, that's a doubt and unbelief. Let me ask you a question. If God came into your heart, did he come into your heart? Did he save you? Did he fill you with the Holy Spirit? Then how in the world does the enemy get in there? I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me. What we're saying was God wasn't able to retain or take everything that belongs to us, that the enemy could get in at will and take, and he's stronger than God is, and now we've got to go and win the things back that God won on the cross. Come on, somebody. That's bad theology. The enemy hasn't taken anything that I didn't give him. He can't take anything. It's protected by God. If God's not able to protect it, I don't want to serve him. Thank you very much. I'll go back and serve someone else. It's quiet in here. Come on. God, if you're not able to take, he's able to keep us, the word says. He who began a good work in me shall complete it. How many know there's no addendums to that? There's no meetings in heaven going, now we want to add an amendment to that statement. Now the statement says, I began a good work in you, but I don't know if I'm able to complete it because you're in the wrong place, you've said the wrong thing, or it's the wrong people, the enemy's stronger than I thought he was, blah, blah, blah. All these amendments. If and when and but and who. No. He said he's able to complete it. Our faith has to be in him, not in us.
Amen.
Come on. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I need to see things like he sees them. Verse 1 says that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. That law is the law of Moses, and it has dominion in the flesh. To be Lord or master, to rule, Lord over, or to control. And until we got saved, that thing played with us whenever it wanted to. We were slaves of sin. Come on, somebody. When we were told to sin, we sinned. But Christ knew that the only way that we were going to get delivered from sin is to die to sin, just like a husband and wife. And I just want to say something, because if you're under any condemnation of being divorced, it's not the unpardonable sin. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not the unpardonable sin. God hates divorce, but if it happened in your life and you've repented, it's under the blood, I don't want you to receive any condemnation this morning. Wife is married to her husband as long as he's alive. If they divorce and she remarries, it's adultery. Come on, somebody. It's what the Bible says. The only way that God could deliver us is that we die to the law. We died to the law. We died to the law. We're alive in Christ. We're dead to the law. The law has no dominion over us. The law of sin and death doesn't have anything to do with me anymore. This is freeing now. Come on. If you get a hold of this thing, it will make you 10 foot tall and bulletproof. It's not in you, it's in Jesus. My God does all things well. If He said He'll complete the work, He'll complete the work that He began in me. Every day I look more like Him and less like the world. Now they say the longer you're married to somebody, you look like them. I'm glad I'm looking more like my wife every day. She's not looking more like me, thank God. Come on, somebody. We look more like Christ every day. Say, well, you weren't with me, Pastor Rick, last Tuesday. I'm glad you weren't with me last Monday. Sometimes we have bad days, but that doesn't mean... Come on, somebody. Only death can break the law of marriage, and only death can break the law of sin and death. The death of Christ broke the rule of the law. Verse 6 says this, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. That's done, that's done, that's done, that's done. The law has no dominion over me. Satan can't come to me and say, I have dominion. You must. No, I must not, sir. I am not your slave. I'm a slave of righteousness. I only do what God tells me to do. You get out of my way. I receive that which the Lord did for me. Come on, somebody. You want to walk in victory? Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. The enemy has no power over me. And the only thing he can wield against me, that club that he has in his hand, has L-A-W on it. He can beat me with the law all he wants, but I've won. In fact, he can't come near me. All he can do is talk. While I've got my foot on his... talking out the side of his mouth. You don't understand. I got you where I want you. Huh? We're joined to another through that death. Romans 7:4, look what it says. It said, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Through Christ's body, the dominion of the law was broken. Now we're able to bear fruit to the Lord. While we were joined to the law, we bore fruit to death. But that's no longer me. Say, that's no longer me.
No longer me.
I am bearing fruit to God. Come on, say it. I am bearing fruit to God. Verse 5 says, for when we were in the flesh, past tense, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. We are now free to be raised together with Him and be seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're far, far above all the power of the enemy. When we were joined to Christ, we are able to obey by the Spirit who dwells in us. We have obedience is given to us by Jesus. Doesn't come from us. If it came from us, we would still be under the law. Have you ever done a really good deed and then patted yourself on the back? How many got sore arms because you're... Be honest. Man, I did a good work today. Something has happened in you. Now you can't do that anymore. If you do, what you're doing is negating what God has done. Listen to what the Word is saying. We're dead to the law. That means we're dead to works. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Only what God has done are we able to brag about. Paul says there's no boasting in the flesh. There's no boasting in the law. There's no boasting in what we did. When Peter and John healed the guy at the gate beautiful and they ran to them and started, they were going to sacrifice and do all kinds of things. He said, what are you amazed at? We're just men. It's not by us that this man is healed. It's by Jesus of Nazareth. Come on, somebody. They understood immediately when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, but we have transcended that, and we have got a mixture of stuff that's been put in our lives for so long, it's no wonder the church is anemic and unable to do the things God called us to do, because we're trying to do it through the flesh. We're trying to do it through the works of the flesh. God, we're trying to gain your attention. God, look at us, how good we are. We're the generation that's finally going to usher in the presence of God, and God says, you don't get it. I don't want you to do anything. I want to move through you. I just want you to believe in me. I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to love me. I want you to pray. I want you to be near me and listen to what I'm saying. Perfect example was this morning. The spirit of healing had nothing to do with anybody but God just wanting to heal his children. This power that's in us has no limitations. Grace reigns in righteousness. Grace is the destructive power of God released through Christ to our bodies now. We have the power of God now resonant within us. We're able to beat sin now. Not because of what we did, but because of what Christ did at the cross. He said it is finished there. That declaration needs no declaration today. I am victorious not because of who I am or what I did or what I put on or what kind of education I have or where I live or what my name is or what my history is. It's only because of what Jesus did. The problem is when he starts to use us. And we start taking the accolades. Yeah, I'm a pretty good Christian. Man, I pray for somebody and they're healed. I tithe. I don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with girls that do. I'm pretty all right. God says, now you've brought yourself under the law. Now I have to start dealing with you as one that brings himself under the law of sin and death by choice. Now by your choice, now you are reaping the benefits of the curse of the law because you chose to. You're not listening to me. Come on. Before we had to do those things, before we were under the law, we had to do those things. Now we're trying to be righteous, and that righteousness is just as bad as the sin that we died to. All self-effort is useless. We must consider the subject of indwelling sin. The thing is we still have to live in the flesh. I wish I could have my glorified body. Now, thank you, Lord, if you give it to me now, I'll treat it good. I don't want to have any senses. I don't want to smell and touch and taste and those things. I don't want to be tempted anymore, God. Release me from temptation. You ever said that? Man, I've been at the altar crying out to God, God, may I never have another temptation again! Then I get in my Bible and it says, you're going to be tempted. But in the way of temptation, I've made a way of escape. No temptation has come upon you, but such is common to man. That's the flesh. We got to live in this ugly old thing called the flesh. And it gets uglier every day. Somebody say amen. I love getting dressed in the dark. Come on, somebody. But this flesh, all kidding aside, this flesh causes me to want to have self-effort. I can win over this thing. I've tried it again and again and again, but this time I'm going to do it. And we lose. We fast, we pray, we get some victory just for a little bit, and we... And we just go round the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain, round the mountain. Sin forgiveness, sin forgiveness, sin forgiveness, sin forgiveness, sin forgiveness, sin forgiveness, sin forgiveness. 10 years later, sin forgiveness, sin forgiveness. Oh God, am I ever going to be delivered? Who will deliver me? Jesus said, I already did. It's like climbing a mountain. You're climbing this thing. You're giving it your best effort, man. You are just grabbing on every rock. Your knees are all skin. You get about halfway up there. You're breathing hard. You're drinking water. You're trying to stay in time with what's going on. And you look, and there's a rope hanging right there. Your eyes are finally open. You say, somebody's already been there. God's already been there. He delivered us from the law of sin and death. We don't have to climb. We don't have to... Listen, God's not impressed with your acumen. He's not impressed with your righteousness. He's not impressed. The only thing that impressed God happened a long time ago. God was impressed by His Son. He opened the heavens and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He never said that about anybody else. He didn't say that about Mary. He didn't say that about Joseph. He didn't say that about Peter, contrary to some belief. He said that to only one person. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That covenant that God made with His Son, because Jesus was our representative in the flesh, we're still living off the benefit. Amen. The principle of sin in the flesh must be solved. It's not overcome by self-effort or by will. The law of sin finds its dominion in the body of man. Romans 6 says what? The body of man, this old man that we had, died. We can't get back there. I want to explore just a little bit what I've talked about, what I call the sin dimension. It's where we live because we're not walking in faith and we can't please God with our own righteousness. We create another world. We go back and try to get back what we had. You can't get back what you had. You better get introduced to this new creation God's made you. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. And this new creation is in the aorist perfect, present perfect tense. It means that we're new all the time. See, we think about new in time. I got born again April 19th, 1981. I became a new creation. No, I'm a new creation now. I'm new every moment. Now I'm new. Now I'm new. Now I'm new again. Now I'm new. I'm new. I'm new. I'm new. Why? Because God's trying to put in something that's outside of this world that you and I live in. He's trying to put in the kingdom principle of all the time presence. That's why Jesus turned to His disciples and He said this, "Before Abraham was, I am." Did you ever think about that? Why did He say, "I am"? Not "I was" or "I will be." He's making me new all the time. I'm walking in newness of life all the time. Every moment, every breath that I take is a new one. Ooh, come on, somebody. It's so outside religion. What I'm talking about is so outside of religion. Self-imposed religion has gotten us in the shape that we're in this world. It's let things run roughshod. We could have never believed. Open your eyes and just look around you, the things that we've allowed to happen in this atmosphere. The blood of the innocent crying out from the ground. Perversion everywhere. Lust everywhere. How did we let it get this way? It's our responsibility. You say, "Oh no, it's not my responsibility, it's the enemy. The enemy's done this, the enemy can't have my family. The enemy can't have my neighborhood. The enemy can't have my city. The enemy can't have my..." Come on. But if I don't know who I am in Christ, I can talk till I'm blue in the face and the enemy comes in and out at will. That's where we get the songs, "I went to the enemy's camp and I stole back what he took from me." This does not mean that our flesh no longer exists, you and I. We still are battling with the flesh. We're still battling with the things. But we have victory now. The old man is dead, but now the flesh rears its ugly head all the time. Come on. The flesh is where we come in contact with the world. Men know this better than anything else. Come on, somebody. We're watching a game and we're loving our wives. And man, we're just, the game's on and we're thinking about holy things. We're even reading the Bible while we're watching the game. Man, we're holy people. Pastor Rick, I'm reading the Bible. I'm watching. And a commercial comes on for Bud Light. And all of a sudden, we're on the beach with scantily clad women. And our minds go right to the sin. What is it? It's flesh now that's grabbed us. Come on, somebody. Where before we went with that sin, now all we have to do is hide in Christ. Jesus, thank you that you made me the righteous of God in you. Now sin does not have dominion over me. For I'm not under its law. Come on, somebody. I'm not under the law of sin and death. I'm under the Spirit of Christ. I'm hidden in the Spirit of Christ. Now I win. We're very visual people, men, you and I. Come on. Women say, amen. Come on, women, I'm not hearing you say amen. Men are visual people, amen? God made us this way, but listen, we can win over the flesh. Verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, may we understand, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. What did the law do? The law exposed things that were sin. The law said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. All of a sudden, we began to see all the gods that were before the God of heaven. When we read the law, thou shalt not kill, every one of us thought about the times we'd like to kill people that messed with our lives. Come on. So is the law sinful? No, the law was spiritual. Is the law sin? No, the trouble belongs to the person who lives under the law. The law is holy, just, and good. It's like its giver. God gave the law, and the law is holy. Thou shalt not kill means thou shalt not kill. Jesus said not only do you not kill, but you don't even think about anybody that way. I've said it before, the level of agreement with that is still, God doesn't lower the bar. He gives us the energy, the strength, the anointing to go over. Come on, somebody. And man, you can't take any credit for that. When the Spirit of God comes on you, you know in your own heart, it's only by God that you're able to win in victory. It makes you humble is what it does. Got time for a story? First time this came really true to me, I was in India, and I was ministering, and I was complaining. It was like 105 degrees, hot, and I'm preaching, I'm sweating. And I weighed about 100 more pounds than what I weighed then. I was a big guy. What I weigh now, 120 pounds more. Let it go, you know. Sorry, come back. And man, I was just dripping with sweat and I was complaining. I really was. I said, let's get this over with because I could use some water and some cool place. In India, the only cool place is inside the adobe houses because they don't have air conditioning. But they're 5-10 degrees cooler. I want to be in there, not out in this baking sun. And so I'm praying for people, and I'm really just being honest. I was chafed. I was unhappy. And this lady fell on the ground and started to writhe like a snake. And her tongue came all the way out to here. I still don't know how she fits. It's physically impossible to do what she did. She was a demon-possessed man. Her husband had her by the back of the back of her hair. She had a long ponytail, pulling her back, and she was, it was just a tremendous thing. And I'm like, how many know that will make you stop complaining? Scared me. It really did. I said, I have never seen anything like this before in my life. And the man through the interpreter said, please help my wife. She's been like this for years. And the whole village knew she was like that. She was just filled with demons. And so I started to pray with her and pray with them. And I rebuked the demon. And the long story short, I actually almost got arrested because I threw her on the ground and jumped on top of her. And you can't do that in India. That's another story. But I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord. She ran towards the Hindu temple and she was very strong. The demon in her was very strong. But the Lord showed me that He decided in the realm of heaven, in the environment of heaven, I happened to be at the right place at the right time. God wanted to use me to set somebody free. Even in my complaining in the flesh, He said, you're the guy that's going to get this woman free. She was free, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and spoke in tongues all in about a half an hour's time. Her life was changed. And you know what happened to me? I wept like a baby. I was useless the rest of the day. The team had to minister. I couldn't do anything. I just wept like I said, Lord, please forgive me. I was so selfish. Here I was thinking about heat and chafing and needing a drink of water. And this woman was possessed by a devil. Come on, somebody. The law is made up of spiritual principles to follow, just like the law of sin, the law of Jesus Christ. We have principles and commandments that we move by. The law of sin has the same thing. And then this whole thing, how many have heard the argument, the last verses of chapter 7? Is this Paul before being saved or after being saved? Is this somebody who's talking in the third person, somebody that's fighting? Let's read it together. It says in verse 15, for I am doing, I do not understand, for what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Sounds like, hi, I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I. And so am I. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Been arguments for centuries on what's Paul talking about. To put it very simply, he's talking about, doesn't matter if you're saved or you're unsaved, if you're trying to win God's approval and win over sin by your own righteousness, you're not going to do it. The flesh will always attack. Spirit wars against the flesh against the spirit. How many know there's always a warfare going on between your flesh and your spirit? The environment of the world and the environment of heaven clashing. But what did we say earlier? Every time the environment of heaven comes into contact with the environment of the world, who wins? Maybe. It's who we give our allegiance to now. We have a choice. Before we didn't have a choice. Now we have a choice. Come on, somebody. Now when we're watching the TV and that thing comes on, the beach and the deal and everything, turn it off. Turn our head. Ask for prayer. The next time that comes along, man, we're wise. See, we're starting to get why. Because God has, by experience, given us, we know that it's Christ in us. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ took my place. What happened at the cross, over and over again, we've got to understand that the picture at the cross was the exchange life. God said, I'll come and live in you, you come live with me. I'll come live with you, you come seated in heavenly places with me. Let me let you see what's happening in your life from my vantage point, not from yours. Come on, somebody. Sin being a surprise and not an expectation. We are sold as slaves to sin because we cannot keep the law. Man is a slave to sin. He is under dominion of sin. He practices those things he hates. He does not do the things he would like to do. Human willpower is insufficient. That's why we see Christians falling left and right. I weep over it, man. Three pastors in Orlando since December of last year have fallen to sexual sin. Three major churches. Mega churches. The very simple principle of allowing Christ to move in you has been lost on some. But God is calling you, God is calling us, God is calling New Life to walk in maturity. To understand what happened. Come into agreement with what the Word of God said. The old man is dead. I can't get back there. There's no way back to live that old life. You can't resurrect the dead. What's dead is dead. Now in me, in newness, in that new every day, new every moment person, I still have to live in the flesh. I can choose to follow the flesh or follow the Spirit. It's entirely up to me. And you better believe the flesh is going to be the flesh tomorrow morning when you wake up. The flesh can't be the Spirit. The flesh can't be. The flesh is passing away. It's going to die. We'll get our glorified body someday and we won't have to deal with it. But until then, we have to walk in victory. Max Anders, in a book called 30 Days to Understanding the Christian Life, wrote this. To esteem oneself properly is to think neither too highly nor too little of oneself. It is to see oneself as God sees him. No more, no less. Then we will recognize that we have inherent and infinite worth, though we are worth no more than anyone else. What's this well done, good and faithful servant that he's going to do? I fully expect to hear that. You know why? Because Christ is living in me. Christ is doing it. All I'm doing is yielding. That's all he's asking me to do. Yield to my spirit. Yield to my spirit. Yield to my spirit. I'm here. I can either yield to the flesh or yield to the spirit. Every time I yield to the spirit, I walk in newness of life. I walk in the kingdom. I don't have to repent. I'm walking that way. I can do it. Now I put one foot in front of the other. The next step, I'm walking in the spirit. The next step, I'm walking in the spirit. Those of you who live by the spirit, walk by the spirit. Live by the spirit. Know what God is telling you. Know here. Be hooked up spiritually with God and you'll not do the deeds of the flesh. The flesh now comes under the authority of the Spirit. It's still going to be there. Temptation is still going to happen. No temptation has come upon me, but now as a spiritual man, I recognize right away the temptation and the door of escape, that exit sign right there. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this law of sin? In closing, Colossians 2:20 says this, therefore, if you died with Christ, when he died with Christ, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why as though living in the world do you subject yourselves to regulations? Listen to what it says. Here's wisdom. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. In other words, all the activity that you do that you think is holy, get rid of that stuff. Have a relationship with Jesus. That's all He wants. It's very simple. It's this Bible and your relationship. Here's the written Word that's living, and the living Word lives within us. That's all we need. We don't need any of that other stuff. We don't need to do gyrations. We don't need to walk on broken glass. We don't need to do things to get God's attention. He already died for you. What more attention do you want? God, look at me. Look how holy I am. Lord, bless me. He says, you're already blessed. You're already blessed from what my son did. God, look at me. Look at my striving. I'm trying to get this under control. I'm trying to get my body under control. I'm trying to lose weight, or I'm trying to stop smoking. I'm using the patch. God, see? Come on, somebody. And we're looking and saying we're good Christians. God, because I did this, and you've totally disqualified yourself from the blessings of the Lord when you compare your works to God. You say, God, I've done this. I've been a good person. God says, that's already been done. If you want my approval, have a relationship with me through my son. And I'll get rid of that for you. That's just a nuisance. I'll put the exit sign fresh in there. The temptation that you've been facing and falling to, if you'll just have a relationship with me, I'll give you the way of escape. Come on, somebody. Whew. What brings forth holy desires? It's the life of Christ within. He promised a long time ago in Jeremiah, he said this, beautiful words, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Hallelujah.
We have victory because of what happened, not because of what will happen. We have victory because of what happened. We have victory because of what's already done. We have victory because of what Christ already did. We have victory because of the one that brought the pleasure of the Lord enough to open the heavens and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now I've entered into Christ. Now I'm hidden in Christ. It's not Rick that's identified. When I go before God, He doesn't see me. He sees His Son. He looks at Rick and says, there is nothing wrong in you. I'm pleased with you because you are hiding in my Son. I look at Rick just like I look at Jesus. I look at Ken just like I look at Terry just like I look at Jesus. I look at you through my Son Jesus and I am well pleased. Now you're starting to hit on all cylinders. Now you're walking in the Spirit. Now you're not being taken by the things of the flesh. Now you start putting one foot in front of the other. You're victorious. Now people want what you got. They're following after you. They're going, man, whatever it is you have, I want. You say, I don't have anything. What I have is Jesus Christ. And He just loves you just like He loves me. Come on. A faceless generation of victorious people that this generation is absolutely dying to see. Absolutely dying to see. Next week we'll talk about the law of the Spirit. There is a law, and it's being activated in our lives. Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness to us in the land of the living. Thank You, God, that Your intent from the beginning was to invade this world with Your kingdom, to flood this environment with Your atmosphere. God, that we would walk as children of light, that we would be victorious, not because of who we are, but because of who You are, Jesus. You want it once and for all. And Father, help us to enter into that. Lord, we agree with Your word that says we're dead to sin and alive to You. Show us the victory this week, God. We fully expect to walk in the now, in that newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen.